All right, I appreciate that very much. Take your Bibles and find Psalm 69. Psalm 69 tonight. And before we get into the message, let me mention a couple of things about the week. First of all, there is a lot that will be going on throughout the week. We have a lot of activities every afternoon. It's great for you to be able to get involved in as much as you can here at West Branch this week. We'll have activities even in the morning, in between the morning services. But there are some other things that are special outside of the regular activity times, and I want to make sure that you know about those as well. Every day at 1 o'clock, 12:55 actually, there will be a choir practice, and that will be not a choir practice like you saw tonight of our staff choir, but an opportunity for you as campers to participate in a choir. So just like they started with the theme chorus tonight and then sang a song, you'll be able to learn a song each day and participate and help us with the theme song each night. So if you enjoy singing at all, I encourage you to come out to the choir. All those that are in the contest will be in the choir each day, but we'd love to have a few more as well to join in on the choir, and that'd be a great way to participate in the week. As well as that, each evening, there will be a special sign language class. Maybe you have thought in the past, you know, I think it'd be very interesting to learn sign language, be able to speak to those who are in the deaf community. And honestly, there is not enough effort right now being made towards those in the deaf world. There are many, many millions of people in the world who are deaf, and over a prolonged period of time, God used the Bill Rice Ranch, of which we are part, to be able to establish deaf ministries all across the country. But in a large part, a lot of those deaf ministries have subsided, or those that led them have passed on, and there just have not been as many people to take up the mantle and have a burden for the deaf world. I know some of you last week at East Mesa Baptist were hosting a fellowship of deaf from around the country, and that is great, but if you can imagine that what you saw is a collection of folks from across the entire country, it shows you that there is still a lot of work left to be done to be able to reach the deaf world. So we would like to encourage you by just letting you get a taste of sign language, and we'll have a class on that each evening. That'll be in here in the crossing. We'll make more announcements about that, but something that 6 or 6:30, I got to check my schedule on that just to make sure, but I think it's at 6 o'clock to be able to participate that, and then at the end of the week, you'll be able to sing in sign language the theme chorus for the week, and so you will have been able to learn a little bit of sign language to be able to use even in the future. And maybe God would speak to your heart. Maybe he will lead otherwise, but something that you could use for his glory later on as far as the ministry goes. And then I also wanted to mention that while we have just a ton of competitions this week in sports and music and even things like cabin cleanup and so forth, our biggest award of the week will go to one church who, through participation and success of winning different events throughout the week, will have earned enough points compared to the size of your group to take home the West Branch Award. And so I want to ask you to make it your goal this week to just get involved in everything, because it will help you out for the potential of actually even being able to win that one overall award. So it's a great thing. All of the events that we do here really are for the purpose of how you can, as a church, come together in unity and work together, and you can accomplish things. And so I hope you'll make that a matter of your goal and priority this week as well. How many of you have been campers at West Branch before? You've been here before? And how many of you, this is your first time to be a camper? Yes, a few of you, and our annual first-timer, Pastor Roy, right back there. So that is great. Hey, whether it's your first time, most of you have been here before, and that's fantastic. If you've not, then I hope you will feel at home very quickly and get involved. And we have three youth camps this summer. This is our smallest one, so they actually are growing a little bit more each time, and our third one will be our biggest this year. And I can tell you one of the great things about a week that is a little smaller is that we can arrange the schedule for you to get in on more of the activities. So a lot of times in a week of camp, it's like, man, there is so much going on, I can't possibly do it all. That's probably still true for this week, but you'll be able to get a little closer to doing everything. So if you're in sports, special activities, all the extra things going on, we hope you are just completely worn out at the end of the week and in a good way. And more than anything, we hope that you will take home things from God's word that'll be a great help to you, both for the rest of your life, but also into eternity. And with that in mind, if you found Psalm 69, would you go ahead and stand with me, please? Psalm 69, I'd like to read one verse, verse number 5. Psalm 69, 5 is our text as we get into our message tonight. This is a psalmist David, and he says in Psalm 69, 5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Now, I'd like for you to read that out loud with me, if you would. And so let me give the reference, and then if you'll just stay together and read right through Psalm 69:5. So here we go. I'll give the reference. You jump right in. Psalm 69:5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible presents the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. God is a perfect God. God's heaven is a perfect place. And God cannot allow any sin into God's heaven. Yet the Bible declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, knowing that we were in the condition that we have sin and would not be able to go to heaven, made a way possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be justified, declared righteous in the sight of God, so that we could become part of God's family and we could live forever in heaven with God. And this is the salvation message. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead, proving that he had power over sin and death, that he could offer to every one of us eternal life. That is the gospel. And the greatest news of all is that you do not have to do anything to merit or to earn God's grace, to earn heaven. You receive salvation as a gift. You cannot do anything. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot merit God's love. You simply receive Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross as your only hope for heaven. That is the gospel message. And that is a wonderful message because it would be impossible for any of us to get to heaven on our own, to be able to get to heaven in some way where we merited that. It's just not possible. But with God's great message of salvation, oftentimes people are not even willing to be able to listen to the message because they are not convinced they need it in the first place. One of the biggest problems in humanity today is that we think we are better than we are. We think that we are pretty good people. We think that even though maybe I've done some things, I'm not as bad as somebody else. You know, every person in this room can easily and I mean easily in our lives, find somebody else that we know that's worse than we are. Somebody else that's a bigger sinner, a greater sinner. Somebody else that has done more wrong, more notably wrong. We can always find those people. But I will not be judged based on how I compare to other people. I will be judged based on how I am compared to God Almighty in His absolute perfection. And so in Psalm 69, when I read this, I see that this is a significant statement that David makes, where he says, O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Hey, can I ask you a question? Have you ever been blamed for something you did not do? How many of you have a sibling? Okay, you've been blamed for something you did not do. At some point in life, it looked like you were the one who did it. You had probable cause. You had the opportunity. You maybe even had the motive, but you also had a brother. And he's the one who actually did whatever your parents were upset about. He's the one who actually made the mess. He is the one who actually messed up something important. He's the one who was actually, you know, whatever it is that he might have done, and you got blamed for it. That can happen in your home. That can happen in your school. That can happen in your neighborhood. All of us have experienced being blamed for something that we did not do. Likewise, all of us have had the experience where people are mad at us or dislike us for no good reason whatsoever. Now, I could ask you, how many of you have ever met a person who didn't like you and they had no good reason to not like you? And we would probably all say, yes, that's me. But here, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever disliked someone, but you had no good reason for it? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that experience? You know, it's funny, but I have several people that come to mind that today I am very good friends with. But for the first possibly several years that I knew them, I didn't even like them. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't want to hang out with them. I did not want to be friends with them. I did not want to get to know them better. I just didn't care for them. Something they did rubbed me the wrong way, and I said, enough of that, forget it. There was no justification in it. Now I see that it's kind of silly. Some of these people are close friends of mine, where I just thought, I don't really like them. You know, we all experience things in life where other people blame us, or other people dislike us, or other people are angry with us. That's common for everybody, and that was true as well for David. Look at verse number 4. David said, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Now, I don't know a lot about David, but I never read in the Bible that he was bald. Okay, so I'm guessing that he's saying that there were a lot of people who were his enemies. There were a lot of people who hated him. There were a lot of people who disliked him. Now, he's probably talking about King Saul, who most notably did not like him, and probably Saul's army, who was loyal to Saul. But the point is, David said, there are so many people that don't really like me for no good reason that I can't even count them all. And so he says, they're more than the hairs of my head. And they that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Okay, he says, look, I've spent my whole life being blamed for things I didn't do, being hated for things for no good reason, even paying back things that I never owed. I did all of that. And so you say, David must have been a pretty amazing guy. He had all these people, no good reason they hated him, no good reason that they were mad at him. He was even willing to pay back debts that belonged to other people. You know, a lot of us get to that spot where we feel like the whole world owes us because of the way that they have treated us poorly. And it gives us that type of spirit that we then turn and portray to God. And so in our minds, we think, because I have been done wrong, because I have been hated for no good reason, because of all these things that have been bad to me, really, I'm just perfectly fine. Everybody else ought to accept me, and surely at least God would accept me. But the fascinating thing in this passage of Scripture is that even though David understood that there were people that hated him wrongfully, he still didn't have a case with God. You see, a lot of people would say, I'm a good person. If anything, people hate me for no good reason. Why would I have any problem with God? Why would I have any kind of sin debt with God? You can't really call me a sinner. I'm the good guy who gets hated for no good reason. Well, David said, I get hated for no good reason. But when I actually think about what God says, what God sees, and what God knows about my heart, I'm not that great after all. And so David says, God, I think I've done these people right, and they're treating me wrong, but I also know my heart, and I know there's plenty of sin in there as well. God, you know my sin. God, you know my foolishness. God, even if it is true that people treat me poorly for no good reason, I know that I still, at the center of my being, am a sinful person. And that agrees with what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I am telling you tonight, friend, that even if other people look at you and misjudge you and all of that, God doesn't misjudge. God knows the truth about us, and God knows that the truth is that we all have sin as a part of our nature. Can I say it to you this way? Being innocent in one matter does not make us completely innocent. We might be innocent about one thing, somebody hates us for it. We might have been to blame when we didn't actually do it. But being innocent in one matter does not make us completely innocent. We are all sinners before God. So can I suggest to you tonight that every one of us should take the same approach, the same perspective as David did? And I want to break this down very simply tonight in three thoughts. When we think about us before God, we need to think about ourselves in these terms. Number one, I sin. I sin. David said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sin is not hid from thee. Now, when the Bible talks about foolishness here, it's not talking about foolishness like what we normally think of foolishness. How many of you have ever done something stupid? Anybody ever done anything stupid? Okay. That's usually what we think about foolish. It's the kind of things like there's a pot sitting on the stove, and it's a completely metal pot. And so you think, I wonder if it's hot. So how do you test whether it's hot? You grab it, and then you have a burn. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever done that before? Okay, I have done that myself. 50% of us are stupid already, okay? So we have that foolishness right there. How many of you have ever tasted dog food just to see what it tastes like? Okay, or cat food? Okay, again, 50% of us, still pretty stupid. How many of you have ever seen your brother riding down the driveway or the road on a bike? And you thought, I wonder if I could hit him with this rock while he's in motion. Okay, I've never done that, but my one brother did do that to my other brother. How many of you have taken a garbage bag full? I'm sure none of you have done this. But this is a family story for me. A grocery sack full of baseball cards that were old in the 1960s and said, the boys will probably never care anything about these, and so you burned them. My inheritance up in smoke right there. By the way, I was born in the 70s, not the 60s. It was my brother's at that time. But yeah, I'm figuring Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Ty Cobb, into the air in smoke. I had a friend in college who told this story. He was out with some friends one day, and they had BB guns. And they wanted to shoot BBs, and they had targets. So they had guns, they had BBs, they had targets, but they had no way to put the targets up on a tree. So the friend said to my friend, this is when he was younger, come over behind this tree, and this tree will protect you. Just reach around and hold the targets, and we'll shoot first, but later we'll swap spots and let you have a turn. And my friend said, okay. And so he went behind the tree, reached around the tree, held the targets, and actually gave his friends two new targets, which were his two arms, and they just aimed at and shot up and down his arms. That is what we think of as foolish. But when the Bible uses the word foolish here, it's not talking about that type of foolish. It's talking about the type of foolish that is absurd, yes, ridiculous, yes, but because it is so perverse, because it is so wicked, it is completely, utterly foolish in the eyes of God. And this is David, a man that we know in the Bible is called a man after God's own heart. But one of the reasons he was that was because he had the honesty to say, I know my heart deep down inside, and my heart has absurdity in it. My heart is ridiculous with sins. Some of the things that I say, some of the things that I think, some of the decisions I make, some of the reactions that I have are so completely ridiculously sinful. God, you know my foolishness, and my sin is not hid from thee. Have you ever said anything in your life that you hope beyond hope that nobody else ever hears about? Have you ever thought anything in your life that you think, man, I hope that doesn't come out when I fall asleep in class and start talking in my sleep? You know, I had friends in high school. We would take these long trips on a van to go play a basketball game, and my friends would fall asleep. And I had one friend in particular who, when he fell asleep, would start talking in his sleep. I have always been glad I am not one of those people who talks in my sleep, because I'm always afraid that you will understand what I'm saying. And I'm sure it's going to be completely ridiculous. So can you imagine if there is something that you thought was hidden in secret because it was the secret of your room or the secret of wherever or the secret of your mind, but it comes out? If there's anything at all that in any way, shape, or form would cause you to have regret, then you have foolishness like David. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Number one, I sin. Number two, God knows it. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. Now I have to tell you, just out of curiosity, how many of you have grown up in a Christian home? Your parents are Christians? Okay, great. Put your hands down. I did as well. And when I was very little, I remember one of the first verses that I was taught by my mother was Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And that's a great verse to teach kids. Later on, when I became a parent, I figured out why my mom taught me that. It's because parents know you're up to something, but they're not quite sure what it is. And so they just want to remind you that even if they miss something you do, God doesn't miss it. You know, it is true. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. They do behold the evil. They do behold the good. God sees it all. And sometimes we as human beings live our life in such a way that we forget that God can see us. A number of years ago, one of our former United States presidents was famously caught on video at a funeral. I don't remember who the funeral was for, but you know, it's a funeral. You're supposed to be sad, right? And especially if you're the president of the United States at a funeral, it means you are there on some sort of official business. You don't just accidentally go to a funeral when you're the president of the United States. So it was not during the funeral itself, but it was like either right before or right after when he was talking to somebody else that he knew. And in the context of the funeral, you just have some respect for the fact that you are grieving someone's loss. Well, in this particular video that came out, the president was seen laughing and joking with one of his friends when all of a sudden he looked up and realized that he was being filmed, that there was a camera. This was kind of before, you know, cameras everywhere. But he saw somebody had a camera. He looked up, and the video was amazing. He went from laughing and joking to an instant looking sad and actually having tears come down his face. And it was a great proof that he was such a fake of a human being, which was absolutely true. And it was, you know, it was before there was viral, but today we would say that that went viral, and he became very well known for changing his behavior because he realized someone that he did not know was watching could see it. You know, we get all over a president for doing something like that. But don't we do that? We think, nobody sees me. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Nobody knows what I'm involved in. If nothing else, nobody knows what I'm thinking. But it's not true. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I sin. God knows it. And the conclusion is simply this. I might as well admit it. God, I sin. God knows it. I might as well admit it. Here's the deal. David said, yes, there are people who have accused me falsely. They are doing wrong to me. They hate me for no good reason. But David says, let's just admit it. There's plenty of good reason. Because I sin. If God were to judge me, David says, you would have to find me guilty. And that's why David, even as an Old Testament individual, spent his life not trying, for the most part, to hide his sin from God, but to make sure that he admitted it before God so God could go ahead and forgive it. Because, young person, that's the kind of God God is. Yes, God knows your sin. Yes, God knows that you're a sinner. Yes, God knows that he needs to judge your sin. But he already decided and took care of judging that sin in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And he did it so that you would not have to be judged for your sin. You don't have to be punished for your sin. The wages of sin is death. It is the second death. It is separation from God forever in a place called the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is true that I'm a sinner. It is true that God knows it. But it is for my own good that I might as well admit it. Because if I will admit my sin before God, then I can freely have his forgiveness. And so that's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That means thou shalt be forgiven. Thou shalt be rescued. Thou shalt be changed. Thou shalt be made into a new person, justified, declared righteous before God, so that you can spend forever with God in heaven. Perhaps David's greatest quality was his willingness to admit that he needed God. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Young person, has there ever been a day in your life that you stopped and you recognized to God that you were a sinner, that you could not save yourself from that sin, and you decided to trust in Jesus Christ alone to be the Savior of your sin, from your sin, so that you could have eternal life? Have you done that? Have you made that important decision? If you have, that's great. If you have not, why not come clean with God this week and just simply admit your need before God and trust Jesus Christ to do for you what only He can do, and that is to forgive you and to wash you clean and to make you prepared for heaven. That's what God can do if you will admit your need to God. Let's bow for prayer. Just before we pray tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, young person, let me just say this. We're not going to have a public invitation in this service, but if you recognize tonight that you are a sinner and that what God's word says is true and that Jesus is your only hope for heaven, then I hope that you will take care of trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior even tonight. Last week in our junior camp, we had a young person that heard that they could just admit to God they're a sinner and tell God that they are believing Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And right in their seat, in one of our services, even before they ever talked to a counselor, they just made the decision to trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And that is perfectly wonderful. And if that's your need tonight, why don't you just do that now? God, I know I'm a sinner. I've never put my trust in Jesus to save me, but I am trusting what Jesus did on the cross to save me from my sin and to give me forgiveness. Just make that decision to trust Christ. And then, young person, if you have questions, if we can be a help to you this week, please, by all means, let us know so that we can help you get this matter settled. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth. Help us to live in light of it. Pray for any here this week that need to trust Christ as their Savior. Please give them the wisdom and the honesty to admit their need and to get that matter settled with Christ this week. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for your great attention tonight. Let me give you just a few announcements before we dismiss. Each night after the service, we'll have some free time before we go back to our cabins for lights out and devotions back there. During the free time, our store will be open. If you'll just kind of turn around and glance to the back for a second, right in the back of the crossing is the camp store. That's where it is, but we're going to ask you not to go straight from this part of the building over to there. So whenever you enter the store, if you'll go outside and around through the side door to enter in the store, that would be greatly appreciated. You'll find all sorts of refreshments there. There's drinks and snacks, candy bars, stuff like that, and also some West Branch t-shirts, a lot of good books.